Happy New Year! Yeah, that is literally the only intro I could come up with.
Rain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and not after three!
Yeah!
Goal!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the FSA Club podcast of the year. I'm going to say that every single week with a big beaming smile on my face. I'm Charles. This is the podcast for you, fans of Northampton Town Football Club, where we share the fans' views on all things NTFC. Coming up, did the three-game break do us a favour or did it go against the Cobblers? The women bringing the new year with a win and the windows open to who's been spotted in Taco Bell with Malcolm Christie this week. Hello, Danny Brothers and Chezzy Coleman.
Aye, aye.
Aye.
Happy New Year. Good Christmas, yeah?
Yeah, it was good. I had a good time. I've thoroughly enjoyed your chat in the pub with Mike Fuller.
Oh, did you?
That was a highlight of my Christmas, I have to say.
You don't have to be so... Shucks. You're lovely.
That's good.
Good. How about the Christmas message, Chezzy? Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Good.
What was your favourite part, Jeffy?
Yeah.
Don't ask me that.
There it is.
There we go. Yeah, Christmas. I just thought I'd do that last minute. I was like, we were. It was one of those where I messaged you guys, didn't I? And I said, what do you think? There's no game to talk about. It's Christmas. Shall we just take the week off? And we all agreed that it'd be fine. We all thought, and you know, I don't think anybody's turned around and told us off for doing it. And been upset by it. There was a niggle and I just sort of went, I should put something out. So I literally just got my phone and sat in my living room and recorded a message and literally then just posted it up.
It was great.
It was probably rambly.
It was very much in the style of the Queen, I thought.
Was it?
And much like the Queen. Much like the Queen, you had a certain hat on while you did it as well, I think.
I had my Christmas fez. Yeah, my Christmas fez, as it would now be. Yeah, my best mate, Abs, the friend of the pod. He bought me a fez. I'll just put it on my head now. I'm wearing it now. There you go.
Recording that doesn't really work.
It's my fez. I know none of you could see it, but you just have to imagine. he bought me a fez. Because that's what best mates do.
Not to be mistaken for a pheasant.
Obviously. No, yes, Jeffy.
This is true.
Definitely not to be.
Not a pheasant.
Yeah, no, that's it. Well, look, thank you very much to everybody who has said Merry Christmas to us. Happy New Year. Happy New Year back to you. Absolutely lovely to be in 2022. And thank you to everyone who has bought a podcast mug as well so far. We're still raising money for Western Favel Food Bank. All of the profits of the mug are going to help that team support people in crisis by helping to provide food and anything else that people may well need. It shouldn't happen. We know that food banks shouldn't really need to be there. Unfortunately, they are. So we want to do something that supports them. And what we've done is selling this mug, which we've all got one, haven't we, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sucked my Christmas bourbon out of it.
Oh, hello. There's still time to get your hands on one. They're just £14.99. That includes delivery. Just go to cobblerstome.com/shop and help us to raise money for Western Favel Food Bank this January. That'd be great. Thanks very much for those of you who have already done it. And thank you if you're about to go and do it right now. Right, glad you've done that. Brilliant. So, a little break, didn't we? Three-game break. That was, well, let's be honest, that was a bit boring, wasn't it, Danny? Got a bit fed up without football.
A little bit. I think part of me was a bit relieved, in a way. I know the thing we missed was the fact that we were on good form. I think if we'd gone into it in awful form and lost the last few games, then we would have been like, oh, sod it, let's have a break. But because we were coming into it with such good form, we won at Harrogate, was it the last one? Or was it Exeter the last one? Was it Harrogate the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'd had a good win there. We're all pumped up. And So to have three called off in a row is disappointing, especially Boxing Day. You love a bit of Boxing Day, don't you? Boxing Day football would have been nice.
Yeah,
but,
Boxing Day football is good, yeah.
Yeah. But I think on the other side, the part of me was like, oh, I don't have to worry about this over Christmas now. I can just chill out.
I'll be honest. I don't know about you, Jeffy, but I actually was quite happy, especially when the Scunthorpe game got called off as well, because I actually kind of went, oh, good. I don't have to, as Daddy said, don't have to worry about this. Don't have to think about it. I can just carry on enjoying my Christmas. It was almost like how you feel having time off work, perhaps. You don't have to worry about it so much.
Well, I was thoroughly disappointed. I couldn't make my annual Christmas pilgrimage.
Oh.
So, and do you know, right, even? So, Sean said to me, just before the Scunthorpe game got called off, oh, I fancy driving to Scunthorpe. It's 500 miles. And he was like, I'd be all right. And then it got called off. And I was thinking, we must be doing well. Well, hang on. Can I just point out as well? I think I might drive to Scunthorpe is translation for you're doing the driving all the way there and all the way back. But I thought to myself, well, we must be doing well if he wants to go to Scunthorpe. But obviously it got called off. But I couldn't do my pilgrimage, so I was quite upset.
Aww.
But I know I really missed it. It was like a void. But I had a lovely Christmas despite that. Went swimming with some pheasants and had some fun. So good. It was good.
Good. I mean, speaking of the break, the Swindon game on Saturday, on New Year's Day. I keep having to remind myself that that was Saturday, by the way. I don't know about you.
I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah. The immediate question that has to come to mind is that result, a 5-2 defeat, is it because of the break? Is that what has cost us, do you think?
Personally, having been there, I don't think it was directly the reason why we lost.
Okay.
I think what did us completely was conceding straight after we'd scored. I think that immediately put the game to bed. And it was just a very hostile game. It was a game where there were two very good teams. We've talked so many times over the last few months that this league is incredibly poor. And it really is, but Swindon are not one of those poor teams. They were significantly better than both Forest Green and Exeter on the day that we played them. And I actually said to Sean at half time, I said, we need to come out, we need to score, we need to not do what we do against against Exeter because we're better than that. And of course, we did exactly that, which was effectively just fall apart for 15 minutes. We managed to get away with it when we played Exeter, but we just didn't. And we just capitulated for 15 minutes. But I think I've said it to you guys as well. The fact that the vast majority of the fan base are not overly concerned by it says a lot about the game and the team at the moment. I wasn't concerned. I think we just kind of have to write it off as just a rubbish day, and you're going to get those games. You're going to get games where it just really doesn't happen for you. excuse me. And, you know, Brady said preparation, everything, and that does come into it, but he was very frank and very honest and said, we fell apart for 15 minutes. We never, ever make defensive errors. We were one of the best defences in the league, which obviously then clearly meant that we just conceded all our goals on the same day. But do you know what I mean? We don't do things like that. So I think it was just a terrible day at the office. And the idea that we just eventually ran out of steam, but I think we ran out of steam more so because we conceded straight after we scored. If we'd have gone on and scored another, I think we'd have just coasted through. But I think the impact of that, their goal straight after ours, just put the nail in the coffin, so to speak.
We had a tweet, but we had a tweet sent to us by @TownPosty after the game saying, don't make any excuses, COVID, etc. That was a poor second half, 21 days without a game, and they turn up and play like that. 4 goals conceded in 9 minutes. Sounds to me like, I know you said that it's the majority of people that you've seen, Jeffy, but sounds to me like Town Posty isn't too happy. Can you understand why that is, Danny?
Well, I hope that's not Mitch Pinnock sending us that tweet, just seeing as though it's Posty. But no, to me, I just don't see how you can not bring COVID into it. I know you can't use it as an excuse for the whole performance, but in terms of the little things, like the mental side of it as well, that defending is such a big thing. We play on such fine margins. We win games 2-1, 1-0. It's very rare that we tear teams apart. So the defence is a massive part of our game, that one little slip and then like conceding two in a couple of minutes, that's going to mentally make them switch off. And after 3 weeks, the little bits of move, the little bit that John Brady was talking about afterwards, the little bits of movement, the instinct to clear things and to be a step ahead of it and stuff, it just goes. I think mentally, once you've gone 2-1 up and then go 3-2 down, it just goes after that. And it must have been difficult for them to carry on, to go as much as we do usually, because we're very much a team that is in people's faces. We're high energy, we're high octane, we get into people's faces, we get on the attack, we physically get involved a lot. And against a team like that, it's going to be difficult, because going to Swindon anyway would be a tough game. And I think, like Jeffy said, we're just going to chalk it off and have a week's training, hopefully. I mean, the ideal situation would now would be play some sort of behind closed doors match on Tuesday, Wednesday, get the minutes back into them again and get build up again. And hopefully by next week, we'll be going all out. Because I think if this happens again next week and, you know, we lose 2 or 3 nil at home to Crawley, then questions can be asked. But I think at the moment, you can't say that COVID hasn't had any effect on it.
I also think
it's the individual moments, isn't it, that's cost us.
I also think that you're right in what you're saying, Danny, and off the back of that, I think if the fixtures were reversed, so we had Crawley on Saturday last and we had Swindon next week, I would be massively concerned if we lost 5-2 to Crawley and we had Swindon coming up. I'm less concerned that we've absolutely just fallen apart and lost 5-2 to Swindon and we've got Crawley coming up. Mm. Swindon are going to be right up there. I would say Swindon probably will go for automatic promotion, because I've watched a lot of Cobblers games this season and the vast majority of them have been awful for both sides at times.
Forest Green?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'll say it. Forest Green were awful on their day. Now, they're clearly not an awful team because they're 7 points ahead of us. They're a good side, clearly, but they play atrocious football.
I think going back to Swindon as well quickly, you could kind of see it, because was it Tuesday or Wednesday night they played Stevenage, mm-hmm. a game that they probably would usually be expected to win by at home. They didn't have a shot on target till about the 70th minute, I don't think. Drew 0-0. All their fans must have been like, okay, we'll chalk that one off, because it's their first game back after COVID. Mm-hmm. Probably didn't read too much into it. They come and smash us 5-0 at the weekend. So, and that's only a couple of days break in between games. So it's going to affect everyone. And some teams would have won today, or yesterday, sorry. But I think Swindon, a team like that, to see the difference between Wednesday and Saturday, that's actually quite positive for us. I think the fact that they've had a really lackluster performance against a Stevenage side who was struggling, to then produce that and to finish the way they did against us, that's encouraging for us, I think.
We were going so well, though, before that we conceded straight after our own goal. Yeah, we were like, going so well.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were. And I actually said this to you guys before, literally 2 minutes before kickoff. I said, one of us is going to get thrashed, and I don't know which one it is. It was going to be either we came out and slaughtered them or they came out and slaughtered us. It literally was on a knife edge. And even at 3-2, you're thinking, have we got time to get back? Do you know what I mean? It was like,
you didn't hear the commentary, did you?
Tim Oglethorpe and Gareth Wilshire on the commentary. I mean, we were 4-2 down and they still,
oh no, won the 4-4. There was no way. Oh.
No, 5-2 as well. They were 5-2. Oh, they were plotting a comeback as well.
Nah. I just thought there's a time to just stop being positive. Personal thing was just like, Just admit that we're beaten. I have. Yeah. It's absolutely fine for you to say that.
It's fine.
You don't have to be super positive every second.
But interestingly, though, and it sounds so backwards for a supporter of a team that have lost 5-2 on the day, and then they weren't in it really, but they didn't give in. It wasn't like we just let them walk through us. We didn't really. Mm. We did still try and do things.
Pretty much three of the goals were just walk straight through.
Once the goals were gone. No, once the goals were gone.
A gentle jog.
Once the goal, yeah. the goals were gone. You know, once the goals were gone, that was it. But after that, we tried. We didn't just literally just stand there like lemons.
I think the thing that I saw, and I think you saw this as well, Danny, was that the heads never dropped. They never looked like they were, oh my God, what's going on? We're atrocious and having a go at each other. None of that happened. I think they all kind of just accepted we're not fit enough. Mm-hmm. And the comment that I made, and I was very careful with the way that I worded this because I didn't want to have a Rob Page moment on my hands, but it was like adults versus kids.
Mm. Yeah.
In that second half.
I'm not sure I'd go that far. It's just the way that they responded to being 4-2, 5-2 down wasn't of a team that were 4-5-2 down, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, they stood up, they accepted it, but they also tried to make things happen.
That's
like
what I'm trying to say, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to think back to another 5-2 that I saw, which was Notts County in whatever year it was, 2009, Samo's first game as interim manager, I think, maybe. And that was absolutely horrendous that day. Like, and you could see heads dropping. You could see balls going awry. You could see passes going out of nowhere. And it was just awful. You can think back to any hammering we've had and look back on what then happened in the season after that, because heads go and, you know, there's no leaders out. There's no one pulling people together. There's no one actually giving a toss what's going on. But at least during this, you can see people trying to do something. You can see people running. You can see people trying to do stuff with the ball. We've got people with quality like Pinnock on the ball that can produce something out of nowhere. I mean, Nicky Kabamba nearly scored. And you know what I mean? We still had that kind of intent to go forward. And I think that's the positive we can take from it, because we haven't just completely collapsed. Because if we did, we would have been...
We just collapsed for 15 minutes.
It would have been awful.
We literally just collapsed for 15 minutes. And that's literally all it was. And you can sit and you can tear apart the mistakes for their five goals because that's what football fans do, right? But actually, and it sounds really bizarre again, take that away, and with all things considered, it wasn't bad. It really wasn't. And I've sat through so many Cobblers games, so many Cobblers thrashings, and that wasn't bad. And poor old Brady at one point had his head in his hands. And me and Sean both looked at each other and just said, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's just one of those days. It really is just one of those days. And you just have to write it off, start again, and just draw a slate and just have a good go.
You see, right, I just want to, because I know that there are going to be someone listening here right now who will be thinking, it was bad. And okay, yes, there are extenuating circumstances for why maybe it was bad, by the COVID situation and the lack of fitness, having missed three games and 20 odd days. But it was still a really poor second half. And it was, realistically, if Swindon had been better, they'd have won that 7 or 8.
That's true. And
you know, they hit the bar twice, I think.
Oh, that
they had
was
a good
mental,
couple of
was.
Times when they had a good couple of efforts that went wide when really you're thinking that should go in. I think there was also a block at one point that Guthrie made. Personally, for me, I know why you're thinking, because the first half was fine. First half was good. We did the same as what we'd basically had done at Exeter. I know Swindon took the lead, but we came back quite well. And the end of that first half, we were the only team that was going to go on and win it at that point, if the game was going to finish in time. You know, we weren't going to run out of fitness. I mean, Pinnock's free kick I was off my seat in Germany. I was off the woodland floor. I was amongst the pine trees. I was cheering.
Not technical Angela Merkel's tea out of her hands.
The thing is, some people are going to say that it was poor, and
because I think it was. I don't think you can get away from it.
I disagree. Not. I don't disagree with the fact that the result is poor and we made five really terrible decisions.
Plus the ones where they missed
the goals. All right, Charles, let me make my point, right? So taking away the five terrible errors for the goals, because pretty much all of them were easy to clear that weren't cleared. Okay, so there's errors in the clearance. And actually, to be honest, I don't think Rob, our keeper, had he had no chance really for any of them, arguably.
Yeah.
So taking that away and taking into consideration that I've sat through many a drubbing that have been significantly worse than that, yes, it was a poor result. Yes, there was a large period of the game where we were poor, but with face value, with everything considered, I don't think that was alarming, and that was a really poor football match for us. I've been to much worse, much, much worse games in recent times.
That's fine. I think that, I don't know. I think that the reason why most people are okay with it is because of the context. I think if you took that game out of context and, out of the context of the, the COVID postponements and everything, the fact that, it's our first game back and Swindon had already played a game in midweek, so they're a game ahead of us. We essentially need a pre-season to get us going again, which is what I think a couple of the journalists have said. The thing that worries me is that it was so easy for Swindon to just rip us apart in that second half. And it comes down, yes, it comes down to fitness. But then that's the context playing a part again. I just look at it and as a game on its own, it was poor. And I think we have to admit that. And I think John Brady's admitting that. And I also think that the players will admit that. Yes, there are the circumstances behind it. And that's a good thing. At least it's not something where John Brady is sat there rubbing his head going, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know how to fix this. The answer to fixing it is basically more time on the training pitch and the players getting back their match fitness. I think that's where it then comes into the fore of actually we can go away and we can, essentially, I think we had a tweet, from @KevPKing, who just said, just no legs after all of the COVID issues. Throw it away as if it was a 1-0 loss and move on.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to do, because I think we are in danger, not as a fan base, but just as a group of players in particular, just to overanalyze it. If, we just made some errors and had a poor 15 minutes. It wasn't as bad as what I think it looks on paper. It certainly isn't that bad. And I think it was just a bad day at the office. And that's the crux of it.
There is he a striker? He was a number 7, I think, wasn't he? McCurdy?
He was mad. He was brilliant.
He'll never play that well again, though, will he? Let's be honest. That's his one game, isn't it?
Well, he's a maverick, isn't he, old McCurdy? He's not really settled anywhere because he's got a bit of, I don't know how to describe it, a bit of bite about him, a bit of his character's one where...
Is it a bit of the Ishmael de Montagnacs?
No, I don't know if he's like a rash player. I think he's just kind of one of those who's got a little bit of an attitude that if you've got him, you love him. If you haven't got him, you hate him, kind of thing.
Okay.
But... And he had a bit of a bad time at Port Vale, I think, didn't really get in, and then seems to have found the right place, the right manager for him at Swindon, because he's flying this season. So his first season where he's probably looks like he's settled down and started scoring, and he's got a fair few assists as well. So he's one of them that you look at and he's got that little bit of creative spark, he's got that energy, and he's got that same kind of thing as Jonjo had, maybe with a little bit more, I don't know, it's that kind of... And talisman kind of thing, isn't it? That he's got, that he just seems like he's absolutely flying, and is the type of player you'd love to have in the just as an option for us. But
I think it's important to note that having analysed everything that we have and the way we've spoken about our team, I think it's very important to actually note the quality of Swindon. And
do you know what? If we're going to talk about Swindon, can I just call out Johnny Williams for what he is, which is a chip? Because he is. There's no hiding it. The guy falls down and holds his head, basically trying to get players booked when he's not been touched, or at least he's not been touched in a way that would cause him to fall on the ground like in a heap the way he did. He's just a cheat. And I absolutely love the way that Hoskins did it back to him after the second time. Basically, Johnny Williams clipped, you know, clipped Sam Hoskins. It was a foul. Nothing really more than that. Oh, how many rolls did Sammy do? Loads. Loved it. I enjoyed that. That serves you right. Have a taste of your own medicine, you little twerp.
Little twerp. The thing is, he doesn't need to do it. He's a quality player for League Two. I think we said it when he played. I think he came off the bench against us at home, and he just said he's got that little bit of extra quality about him. He don't need to roll around, and he's just shithousery, and every team's got it. We've probably got it as well. So
it's
just annoying because you kind of think he's not doing what he's can do because he's so good.
Yeah,
he's only 28 as well. Really, I thought he was like 30 something.
He looks about 40.
Can I caveat your statements, both of you?
Caveat it.
That's
what happens when you have a referee that has no control. Which, by the way, I'm going to caveat my statement also and say that's not his fault. That's the fault of the fact that the standard of refereeing is not good enough, and that's all I'm going to say on that matter.
Okay, fair enough. No problem at all. I just wanted to very quickly mention, because you brought him up, Danny, I'm sure we'll talk about it in the fan club's League Two Roundup podcast that comes out every Monday. Become a member of our fan club to get your hands on that beauty. Jonjo scoring for fun at Mansfield, isn't he?
Is he? Get I need to add in. That to the roundup then.
Oh, yeah. Scored again. Scored twice now. He played
well. He only had a contract till January, didn't he? And then were they going to extend it?
There you go. Jonjo working his magic in League 2.
I love Jonjo so much.
Oh, that's because their match was postponed the other day. Yes, that's why I didn't put it in my roundup.
Ah, there you go.
He must have scored the other day, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
I'm not interested in that then.
Fair enough. No problem at all. Anyway, back to things. Obviously, a lot of what we've talked about with the Swindon game has come back to the issue of the COVID situation. There were 13 games called off in the EFL over this New Year's weekend. Four of those were in League Two. Obviously, we had our three Christmas matches all postponed or suspended, depending on which word the club wanted to use on a particular day. And that's brought up quite a lot in the wider context of football. Jurgen Klopp, not very happy, doesn't think that, clubs that are smaller than Liverpool should benefit from all of this, which seems daft, but anyway. There was the issue that came to the fore of whether five substitutes should be allowed again. And I think this was where Jurgen was particularly vociferous, shall we say, about it. It does seem as though the big clubs, the ones that have got, 750 million players in their squads, want to be able to use five subs, whereas smaller clubs like Burnley, I've chosen to use Burnley as my choice simply because Jurgen Klopp chose them, not because I want to pick on anyone, especially not you, Sean Dyche. clubs like that, they don't have the big squads, and Sean Dyche sees that as being the five sub thing as being a disadvantage for clubs like his, Burnley. Thoughts? So the five sub thing, would you bring it back? Yes or no?
I think it's probably sensible, isn't it?
Okay. Danny, in favour?
I think for the time being, probably sensible. You can always take it back again, couldn't you? And the thing I look at it now, can we wait until we've made a couple of signings? Because I fear five substitutes coming off that bench.
But I also think as well that with the five sub situation, I think, by the way, what Sean Dyche said was nailed on. It was absolutely right. But I do think that we need to change the issue around youth team player contracts, because there's a big talking point about that, isn't there? That once you take them out of the youth, well, if you're looking at teams like Northampton Town, Burton Albion, Crawley, these really small teams in the wider footballing community, then that's an issue we really need to sort out, because you're going to drown small clubs if you don't deal with that bigger issue and that wider issue to enable us to have five subs, to enable us to fulfill fixtures. So effectively what we're doing by not allowing us to fulfill the fixtures because we're not allowed to sign these players on whatever kind of temporary thing we need to do, was just one big vicious circle, isn't it? We're just
you're talking about the squad registration numbers, aren't you?
Yeah, because so that would help the five sub situation, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's an issue, isn't there, with regards to, I don't know this is definitely correct, or at least word for word as to what I'm going to say, but I think as soon as you name a youth team player in your first team match day squad, mm-hmm. they then are given a space in the squad number.
Absolutely.
Whether they come on the pitch or not as a sub, which obviously takes up a space in the squad, which reduces the amount of room that you can have. So potentially you could end up with no room in your squad without selling a player or, you know, transferring them somewhere else, to then be able to bring anyone else in.
Which is backwards, isn't it?
I think we'd need to know a bit more information as to exactly, because it's been brought in for a reason.
I really understand the reason, because what it does is it prevents us from selling our youth players on, right? Do you know what I mean? It's all this player pathway that's come in, which I really agree with. But given the current climate that we're in, and, you know, we're forgetting this is an actual pandemic that we're dealing with, that we've got to have some common sense approach to the governing bodies of our sport to enable small clubs to be able to survive, right? And that goes with this five sub rule. So if you've got, you know, if we're talking 2 years ago and Max Dyche is in our youth team and Brady's run out of defenders because they've all got COVID, but he has to fulfill a fixture, but Max Dyche is in the youth team when he can't bring him over, well, it's common sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Sorry, you've lost
it.
Me, if I'm being honest. I'm lost. Yeah.
So if, for example, last
week... Because he can do that, can't he?
Well, if he has to sign on for a pro contract, if that makes sense.
No, but it's not about him getting a pro contract. It's about him just filling a space.
That's what I mean. Once he's filled a space...
Yeah.
You can't give him back as such, which sounds an awful way to put it.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, you can't take that space off of him again unless he leaves the club.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, we can't do that. We can't do that at the moment. At the moment, there needs to be some wriggle room. What we can't do is allow clubs to then exploit it, but we need that to enable us to fulfill these fixtures.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
To protect those youth players, because those youth players are not used to playing against men. Right? So we also need to make sure that they're protected from injury. So we have got a big vicious circle at the moment within football. So we need to make sure we're looking after youth players, but we're also looking after clubs by enabling them to have five subs where needed, and if needed, having to dip into their youth team on a temporary basis to allow the fulfillment of fixtures, to prevent us from having to stack loads and loads of games, furthering the issues in the EFL at the moment.
Okay. Another piece of news that came out on Sunday was that EFL clubs are no longer going to be testing their players on match days. This was an article that the BBC produced. And essentially, it said that the testing every other day of the week would be sufficient. Danny, what are your immediate thoughts on that?
Little bit uneasy, honestly, I think, for quite a few reasons. I think you can easily test negative one day and positive the next. I understand the reasons they're doing it, because of the long journeys and calling games off within an hour and a half is not ideal. But I just feel a little bit uneasy with that, because you could just as easily go on, turn up on a match day, be positive without knowing it, score a goal, jump in the crowd, and that infects a lot of people around you. And I know you can do that in training as well. So it's just difficult, and it doesn't paint them in a great light, I don't think, in terms of, it feels like the matches are more important than people's health, if that makes sense. Mm. So that's the bit that makes me a little bit nervous about it.
I get what you're saying, and I understand why they've done it. Is because of games being postponed once fans have maybe already set off to go to that game. There was a game, I think, Hull City and Blackburn on Boxing Day. It was postponed 2 hours before kickoff, and obviously fans were already travelling at that point. And it was, yeah, that's not great. And, you know, I can understand why this will obviously help stop that from happening. But the one worry that I've got is that you're saying that, you know, lots of people could be infected by somebody who is positive in the fans. But there's also that thing of, well, if you've then got a member of the team turns up to play the game and he then infects, you know, half of his teammates and half of the opposition as well, you've then got two clubs the following week or the following match day that may not be able to then play. So because they've all got COVID. So it feels like it's then just kicking the can down the road onto the next fixture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely does. Yeah.
There you go. It's so complicated. This is the main
issue. There's no easy solution, is there? I don't think. There's no massively easy solution to it. I think we just got to hope that it eases off a little bit. And gladly, it has done for us to be able to play again. But there isn't, as with it, there has been for the last couple of years with everything in football, there's no easy or right answer for anything, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing that it makes me, or that makes me uneasy, is that it feels like it almost gives another avenue for people who have said things along the lines of, if you stop testing for COVID, then COVID goes away. It gives them a bit more of ammunition to use, which, yeah, that makes me uneasy as well, that's happening. However, there's no right or wrong answer with it, is there, really, at this point? It's far too difficult. And a podcast is certainly not going to be able to come up with an idea that solves everything.
I think Neil had one, but he's not here.
Oh, it's a shame, isn't it?
Something involving water, I think. Something like that.
Water.
I can't remember exactly slides. What it was, but yeah, slides waters.
Yeah,
something. General hoopla.
Water around slides water. With the animal.
Oh, maybe yeah, that.
I mean, soon to ITV
because of the animal. The animal is quite boisterous, shall we say? So he would be good as like a, you know, those people that like get, you know, the rubber dinghies that you get. The person that like shoots people down the water slide so that you like jump off and then you bungee jump into the middle of the pitch and then.
Brilliant.
Obviously. Alan McCormack will solve everything. Genius that he is.
Much missed.
He's not dead, Daddy.
Oh, no, he's not dead, obviously. He's having a great old time, I'd
much say. Missed around the place. Okay. Imagine him in this team.
Oh, he'd be so much fun. Imagine how much fun him and the King would have.
Arguing over who gets top spot on the Christmas tree.
Oh, no, they'd all be there.
Oh, hello.
They'd all be there.
Menage a trois.
I'd just invite them for Christmas
threesome.
Dinner.
Threesome.
Thank you, Danny. I'm glad someone was paying attention. Right, before we go for a break, I just wanted to mention how really good I thought the idea of the supporters' walk was that the club put on last week. Tom Cliff's idea, fabulous idea. Basically, the club just arranged a walk during Christmas for all the supporters that could turn up. I think it was on a Wednesday, sort of just after lunch sort of time, 1 o'clock maybe. Tom Cliff had the idea. And alongside Tom, Kelvin Thomas, James Whiting, Hayden Spenceley, friend of the pod, and Samo and Mort all went on a walk. And it was basically open for people to just go along. If you wanted to have a chat, if you felt you were missing football, you felt a bit lonely, whatever it was, you could have gone along. And I thought it was a great idea. I don't know how it actually went, because I actually think this is one of the other things that I wanted to kind of praise the club on, which was that, okay, yes, they organised it. Yes, they advertised the fact that it was happening. And yes, they did a thing afterwards where they said it had happened. You know, they put the article on the website and on Twitter. But there was no great big, like, oh, look at what we did. Here's some pictures from the walk and, you know, here's how many people turned up and all this, that and the other. I actually thought that was a really positive thing for them not to do, if that makes sense. Because
you don't need to, isn't it?
Yeah, it made it about the fact, look, literally this is just a thing that if you need us, we're here. Please do come and, you know, have a chat. and it can be about anything. And I thought it was a really, really good idea that Tom had. So,
yeah. Also, if you tell people that Adam Morton's going, there is a danger that it would have got overcrowded.
Mobbed.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. We'll be back in a moment after this. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank you very much for not leaving us high and dry. It's time for some emails. It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in. Brett Nurse has sent us a wonderful email. He says, hi folks, subscriber of just over a month or so, love the pod. I'd argue that it should be given an award if such things ever existed. The thoughts. So, full disclosure, I'm a Plymouth-based Spurs fan of over 30 years. I have, however, worked with jingleist extraordinaire Malcolm Butler for around 6 years. A good friend and as good a man as you could ever wish. And, oh, all right, Brett, crikey. You'll give him a big head. I attended a Cobblers game for the first time with Malk at St. James Park against the Exeter Scun. I'm still a Plymouthonian. In 2019. An agonising 3-2 defeat, you may recall. I've subsequently adopted the Cobblers as my second team and recently attended the same fixture a few weeks back, an altogether more enjoyable affair, even with the absence of Keon Atete. Anyway, I'm looking to start attending more games further afield in due course once all this weirdness in the world starts to calm down. There's been talk of Swindon on New Year's Day, but that seems a bit far-fetched at the point that he wrote it. Anyway, if you could indulge me two questions, please. So, number one, could you please describe your ideal match day experience for home games, please? Any rituals, places to eat or drink, etc. I'm hoping to get up to Sixfields before the end of the season, and it would be good to get some ideas of things to do. Number two, do any of you have second clubs? It's a concept that has historically offended me. Plymouth Argyle inspire local interest in me, but no more than that. It does feel like I'm cheating on Spurs a little bit. But then I remember that this is football, and I think it's okay, right? Anyways, keep up the good work. Shoe Army, Brett.
Ooh. Nice questions, nice. Brett.
Nice questions. So should we go? Let's go with question number one. Any home match rituals that either of you would suggest?
I have
Haribo.
Haribo,
has got to be there. Danny has his Haribo.
Any places that you go to eat or drink? Anything that you
I go to my mum's house, but I'm not sure Brett would. Well, he would. He would love my mum's.
What you're trying to say is you're not sure your mum would appreciate Brett just turning up.
No, she might wonder what's going on, but that's my general haunt.
Danny said that this was the place to go, pretty much. Mrs. Brothers, could I come in? Oh, I love the idea of that. Please don't do that, Brett. But if you do, let us know on Twitter @cobblerstome. Thanks very much. I suppose, really, of late, recently, I tend to go and have a drink in the tavern over at the Sixfields Tavern, and then go. And potentially, possibly, if there's time, have another drink in Cars Bar and then go in.
Yeah, that's a good staple, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're getting the best of both then.
yeah, I'm giving a bit of money to the club, but I'm also, you know, standing in a far bigger area, either inside or outside in the actual pub.
I enjoy Carlsbad just because it's that feeling of being surrounded and at the ground, and you just get chatting to anyone, don't you? And there's that. I mean, tavern's more of a, you know that it's a pub kind of thing, don't you? Whereas Carlsbad, you know, you're at the game, you're there, nothing can go wrong until 3 o'clock. And you see the same old faces all the time. It's just a nice feeling to be part of it. It's just, you just want it to be a bit bigger. That's the only thing.
Yeah. I do think that if we lived in Northampton, by we, I mean me and my family, then things would be a lot different, because I'd probably go to pubs, you know, and I'd probably make a bit more of a day of it, like you do on an away game, where I'd probably get, you know, the bus in, or I'd maybe even walk through town to get Uber to Sixfields. Get an Uber, yeah. and therefore I'd maybe go to a different pub before getting to Sixfields. So it depends where you're kind of coming from. Like if you were coming from getting off the train, for instance, then I'd possibly go and have a drink somewhere along the way beforehand, or maybe something to eat before getting into the Sixfields area. But as long as you've got your Haribo, I would suggest that everything else is completely game.
Yeah.
Chezzy's quiet, which leads me to believe that she's got some thoughts on number two about having second.
Hang on, I need to talk about number one first.
Oh, are you not ready for? Oh, sorry, I thought you were done.
Like, no, I'm like quite happy.
Blind date going on.
I'm waiting for you to let me speak.
Oh, okay. No, sorry, I thought you did speak.
No, I'm. I talked about Daddy's Haribo. Eh?
Give us your thoughts on number one. Where you come? What's your name and where you come from?
That's before my time. That program.
Oh.
I know. But anyway. So my ritual is M5, M4, A420, M40, and A43, and
probably similar to what Brett will do. Yeah. If it drives,
and a bit more, and the rest of the country. But I have a scarf, right, that was handed to me by my father when I was really, really young, and it's a scarf from the 86-87 season.
Okay.
Of which Sean said, "You'll never see a team like that." Handed me the scarf and said I could have it, and then I had to allow him to concede that. And say that Wilder's team were as good in 2016. And every single game that I've been to, I've always worn that scarf. So I never take that scarf off. Like, I've always wear it to a game. So that's the only ritual I have, really.
So are you suggesting that Brett needs to get a hold of a scarf from 1987?
I mean, probably not, because my cobbler supporting life has not bought me much success on the face value, really. So I think I was sold a bit of a lie.
Okay. What about number two then, Chezzy?
Yeah, no, number two is an outrage. You can't have a second team. That's it.
Okay, done. So he can't come to the Cobblers then?
We can come to the Cobblers, but they can't be a second team.
Right, okay.
He's quite welcome to be there, but they ain't a second team.
He can come, but he can't support us.
No, absolutely not. He has to be neutral. Okay. Has to be completely neutral.
Daddy, what say you?
No. I think you can
hang
have
on,
teams
Danny.
That even...
No, yeah, no.
No, sorry, I was trying to think which one I was trying to say. you can have teams that you're interested in, let's say. I've introduced a couple of people to the Cobblers, and they would now call themselves fans.
They hate you.
But I caveat that with the fact that most of them are fans of Premier League teams that know that we're never going to be a threat.
Okay.
And I think that's okay, in a way. You can have... like teams that you like doing well, and you know you've got friends who support them and stuff and all that kind of thing, but you're never ever going to get the teams what you're the same kind of passion that you are towards your own team, are you? Like, it just doesn't happen. And if the wrong thing is if you've got two that you're just going to one week and going to one the other, that's I don't like that. It's get them out.
Yeah. Do your friends go and watch their Premier League sides? Like,
yes. Yeah.
Right, okay. Because I think that does, not necessarily make a difference, but I think that does mean something. I think if Brett, you only ever watch Spurs sat in front of your TV or in front of a TV in public, i.e. the pub, and you've never been to watch them live, then are you that big of a fan? Oh, I've opened up a can of worms there, haven't I?
Yeah.
For me, I am the same. I would not appreciate a half and half.
No, no. Get that out. Was it Jake Sharp who's got
Jake that Sharp with
get
his
him out.
Liverpool North on, get out, Jake.
Someone needs to get Abby to cut it in half.
And burn the red side. Yes. I'm a bit like what you said. I'm happy for you to come and give us your money and to cheer us if we score. But you've got to make a decision, Brett. Are you a Cobblers fan or are you a Spurs fan? Now, I would argue that if you chose to leave behind Spurs, then you're no better than Mr. Winkleman.
Oh. See, to coin a phrase of Danny's, which I'm going to steal, and I know we've had lots.
Try to think which one this is.
Lots of laughter in relation to this phrase used. But the one thing that really gets my goat. Not yes. the goat that I was nearly sold for in Africa. True story. But the thing that really irritates me, and Brett will understand this living down these parts, you get people who go, I'm a Spurs fan. Well, I'm an Arsenal fan. They ain't never been to Bath, let alone London. Right?
Nor have they ever had one.
Have you ever even been? Well, yeah, maybe. But, you know, they've never even been to London. And it's like, how can you possibly conceive the idea of being a fan of a club that you've never even been to the city / town of? I don't understand that. I know it's so ironic talking with the broadest farmer accent you've ever heard, being a Northampton Town fan. But unfortunately, it was by blood and birth that I arrived being a Northampton Town fan. You know, there's nothing I can do about my family being Northamptonians. You know, I was born into it. But I know 1,000,000,000% that if my family were born in Yeovil and I lived in Yeovil, I'd be a Yeovil fan. If my family were born in Exeter and I lived in Exeter, I'd be an Exeter fan. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand where this, and it is the glorified Premier League glory days, isn't it? Oh, I want to be a fan because they win loads of trophies. We've really lost that community spirit.
I'm not sure Brett's got that problem, to be fair.
No.
Well, no, this is very true. But do you know what I mean? I actually find it quite upsetting for them, because I feel that, and I genuinely mean this, that there are people out there in this world who live in places, maybe like Somerset or up north somewhere or anywhere, who support, you know, whatever team it is in London, that will never feel the joy that we feel, alongside the despair, obviously. But the joy that we get on so many occasions, and it's not joy that is matched by like trophies, it's joy of plastic chairs or joy of like inflatables at an away game. It's all that kind of stuff, isn't it? And you'll never get that. And that bothers me, because as a football fan, I feel so passionately about that. Like, days that shouldn't mean anything mean so much. Like drawing 2-2 against MK Dons and a plastic chair going on the pitch, or a wheelchair invader of a pitch when we save ourselves from potential relegation, which we didn't even save ourselves anyway.
Who, by the way, Derry's been at it again, if you've been on Twitter.
I know.
Fabulous. Well done, Derry.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well done. But that's the thing, like, those are such magical moments in our lives. And I feel so sad for the people that have that void. And that's my speech.
Brilliant. There you go, Brett. I hope you've got your answer. I'm not sure if you do, but there you go. Richard Dewhurst. Hi.
Hello, Richard.
Just seen the old news of Swindon raising ticket prices for their cup game with Man City, which is on Friday night, by around 50%. The club have promised the money will be reinvested, but understandably some of Swindon fans are unhappy. With replays being scrapped for round 3 and 4 this season, maybe it is a smart move since there's a big chance for the club to make some money. What do the pod team make of this? If the same thing happened with the Cobblers, would you pay £35 for a ticket, Danny?
Yes, because I did. When we played, I think they did it when we played Man United, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's a difficult one because not everyone can afford £35, and it's a massive thing to pay almost double the ticket prices to what you usually would pay. So that's the issue, I think. To me personally, if I could, and if I could make it to the game, and if I could afford it, then I would, because it's one of those things that doesn't happen. Probably happen once or twice in your lifetime. Like when you watch Man United rock up at Six Fields, where you see the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo and stuff tearing up the left-hand side against Derek Asamoah, that's something you're not going to see again. Yeah. So that's to me what sells it. It's like what you're going to get for it. It's the moment. But I can completely understand how some fans would be upset by that, sure.
There's also, I think, you've got to put into, because this is part of the what I've seen, at least one, I think it was maybe the Loathed Stranger podcast, the chap that runs there, pod and the Twitter account, saying that it wasn't that long ago that essentially fans were being asked to not take a refund for their season ticket for, you know, the 2020 or 2019-20 season that was ended. They've obviously had a huge issue with former owner Lee Power. The new owners are in now, but there was, you know, a lot of stuff going on that they weren't happy about, and they did a lot and, you know, paid a lot of money out essentially in order to go and watch their team play. And now they've got a big, you know, arguably the biggest club, or at least the best club in the country right now, coming to the County Ground. And the fans are now being asked, well, essentially they feel like they're being punished. Chezzy, I mean, would you agree with that? Would you feel like you're being punished?
I don't know how to feel about this one, and my instinct tells me that I'm not happy about it.
Would you still pay for it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where I don't know how to feel about it, because without a doubt, I wouldn't even have to think about it. And I know not everybody is in the fortunate enough position to not have to just be able to not think about it. And I understand that. And I think that's why I feel the way I feel. But for me, I just would do it regardless of the implications. I would just do it because, like Danny says, it just doesn't happen for us. But what bothers me is that you might have a little 7-year-old lad or a 7-year-old girl who really wants to go and watch, let's take the people in question, Swindon Town, and their mum or their dad or whoever they live with says, actually, we can't go because I can't afford the ticket because it's doubled the price now. And that really, really bothers me because this is potentially what feeds a child's interest in their hometown club, which is what we've talked about earlier on, isn't it? And we're in danger of losing that as a society, and games like this ignite that. And what we don't want to do is take that away. However, I can understand that it's a potential to make money, and money that might really be needed. Now, if the club, I think my personal instinct would be that I would pay it anyway. But if my club came out and said, look, we're going to have to double these prices, this is because of X, Y, Z, we need it for this, this, and this. And if I felt that that investment was going to a place that was necessary and a place that I felt that was really needed, I would be really settled and happy with that.
Could you give me an example of what it would be then that they could say that they need the money for?
So, for example, maybe if their women had an FA Cup run that they needed to pay for, if they needed to pay for transport to the games, if they needed to pay for catering.
There are other ways of doing that.
I agree. I agree. I really agree. I'm just trying to find...
This is the thing. I personally, I don't think you can find anything. I think this is an example. And I think actually what you said, Chezzy, about the fact that you would pay it anyway, regardless, that's what's wrong here. Not you. You're not doing anything wrong. You're being taken advantage of.
Potentially.
By the owners of the club, because they know that you will, or, you know, the vast majority will still pay it. They might not like it, but they'll still do it. The only way to actually stop them doing it in this moment of time would be for all the Swindon fans to say, no, I'm not paying for it. and I'm not going.
And the thing is, you're right, because that's never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the big issue, is that, yeah. And I know that, you know, Rich is saying here that they're going to reinvest the money back into the club. Absolutely fine. And of course, that is what should happen with it.
Yeah, do that, yeah.
But I do look at it and go, you're taking your own fans for a ride. Now, yes, we did it with Man United. 2004, the FA Cup fourth round game, Man United, remember, subsidised the ticket costs for their fans because they turned around and went, the Cobblers have put the money up. We're not going to ask you to pay that. We will only charge you their normal match day fee, so about £20, whatever it was at the time.
It was about 16 quid.
Maybe, yeah, whatever it was at the time. They asked the fans, their fans, United fans, to pay that normal amount, and then Man United topped up to give to the Cobblers, which, you know, is them saying, and they made a statement out of it and saying, look, you know, our fans are being punished for the fact that it's Man United. Because we're a big club.
Yeah. Interestingly, I have a very vivid memory that I believe, now please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Liverpool kept the tickets at a reduced rate for our fans so that it wasn't, so for example, they can charge, there's banding, isn't there, for games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they chose like the banding that would be appropriate as opposed to exploiting. Yeah. But I think what would be really interesting, and I'd really, really be interested to know this, what's happening to season ticket holders?
Yeah, that is the other question, isn't it? Because that's the other part of it. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, the answer is, unfortunately, yes, the Cobblers would probably do exactly the same.
Yeah.
And yes, the three of us, would probably pay the additional money.
Do you know what
but
I would do?
We wouldn't be happy about it, and we'd probably use this platform to say we're not happy about it.
Yeah, but do you know what I would do, though?
There you go.
I would genuinely contact my club as a football fan, and I'm not saying this is as a Northampton Town fan, I'm saying it as any football fan. I would contact my club and ask where that money is going, just so there was transparency, and then I would feel comfortable about doing it.
Yeah, they could, yeah.
I would demand it get spent on the Dean Pier corridor.
Yes. Brilliant. No, I would like a water slide with a bungee jump Alan McCormack is manages in his I don't want to say old age because he ain't old, but in his retirement.
Send your emails to podcast@cobblerstome.com.
Hashtag water park.
You might get some answers you don't like, and you might get some ones you do. Anyway, before we go, NTFC women, we've got to talk about the women because I was about to say we love them. I mean the team. Do not misinterpret what I've just said. NTFC women were 2-0 down at halftime away at Utebridge War Memorial in their latest league game on Sunday.
I'm in a flow.
Stop it. Goals from Charlie Cooper, Bianca Luttman, and an Alex Dix brace secured a magnificent turnaround as the Cobblers won 4-2 to remain top of the league. 4 points clear with 2 games in hand. Thank you for adding that in there for me, Danny. That was brilliant. Brilliant. I know the guys, Josh and Lou, were not happy with the first half performance at all. They did have to make several changes due to COVID or injuries. Abby Bruin, for example, didn't travel, wasn't there. Don't know why. Just can't confirm or deny that she's got a sniffle. So there you go. But Lou, Barry, did describe the third goal, which is Bianca's goal, as a thunder bastard.
Yes.
Brilliant. There. So there you go.
I love that. I mean, to come from behind in any way, from 2-0 down, is great. To come from behind against the team second at the league is magnificent, isn't it?
I just love Utebridge War Memorial. It's a fantastic name.
Utebridge. They want to get back in the bridge, then, don't they? Get back in there.
Oh dear. Hey,
got League Cup next week.
Oh.
Charles.
Yeah? Who's it against?
League Cup final against Sleaford Town.
Final, did you say?
No, no.
Oh, just League Cup. League Cup. Oh, League Cup fun is what you said. Sorry.
League Cup fun, yes. League Cup fun day.
I misheard.
Sleaford Town. Ah. Got a few more goals up there.
Hopefully, yes, that'd be lovely. No match report or interview with the managers this week, but hopefully back next week with a bit of that. So well done to the ladies again. Fabulous result well done. Happy, happy days. Do go down and support them if you can. They usually play Sundays, 2 p.m. kickoff. And when they're at home, they're at Harpole Football Playing Fields, home of Harpole FC. Yes, that's it for this week. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chezzy.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to hear more from us, you can go to our website, cobblestome.com, where this week you'll find a return of an old favourite. If you ever knew Danny Brothers pre It's All Cobblers to Me, you'll know that he wrote a magnificent blog, a website about the Cobblers. Absolutely lovely. And one of the things that he did every single year was a brilliant blog, The Things That Won't Be Happening in 2022. And that's exactly what you've done this year for us, isn't it, Danny? Some yes. tremendous predictions that won't be happening. I won't ruin it for you, but can I just say, Sven.
Ooh.
Oh, it's there
too
you
much.
Go.
You've said too much already.
Cobblestome.com. Go there. You'll find match previews.
Be there
you'll
or
find
be
that
square.
Blog. Indeed. And you'll get information on the fan club as well. Oh, and of course, go and buy a mug as well. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again or hear from us again next week. Goodbye.
A toodle pips.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.